066 30th of September 2012. Andrew, Faith.
Praise his wonderful name. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, please. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. I want to speak about Abraham today. Amen. Abraham is often termed as the father of faith. Yeah. Okay. I don't think it's ever really quoted like that, but he's, you know, many people say he's the father of faith. Well, I want to just thank Jesus today that he's not the father of faith, but he is the author and finisher
Amen.
Of faith.
Praise
he started it, yeah. He wrote all about it, and he finished it.
Amen.
And today we've seen that in your own life today where you've made a confession.
Yeah.
He's the author. He's the beginning of your faith.
Yeah.
And he will go all the way through with you to finish this faith. And when it means finish, it means refine it, to bring it to its full potential.
Thank you.
To bring it to that absolute perfection and that part that is so perfect in God's sight. That's God's intention, is to bring you to full faith. His faith.
Amen.
And Abraham we quote at times as the father of faith to the children of Israel. And so in verse 8 of chapter 11 of Hebrews, it says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance.
Yeah.
And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he, Abraham, was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God.
Amen.
Praise his name. Looking for a city. Verse 11, by faith even Sarah herself received the ability to conceive even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised.
Amen.
Therefore also there was born of one man, and him as good as dead,
yeah.
At that and many, and as many descendants as the stars of heaven in number, and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Verse 13, and all these died in faith, without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. I'm a stranger.
Yeah.
I'm an exile
yeah.
on the earth. I really do not belong here.
Nope.
Do you?
No. This is not
mine. We're a heaven height. Oh, yeah. We're destined for the eternal glories.
Amen.
Earth is not our full destination anymore.
No.
You're in airport waiting for your flight. We know that. You're already there. Just praise God. Something that just went, when that Psalm 139 was read, and this is fits in with where I'm sort of going, and verse 16. If you want to just turn to that, Psalm 139 and verse 16. Something just lit up in it as you were reading it to us. This is the Psalm of David when he's talking to the Lord. Verse 15 we'll read. My frame was not hidden from thee when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Thine eyes have seen my unformed substance. I've never seen that quite before like that. And it suddenly hit me like that. And I went, whoa. Hebrews 11, chapter 1 and verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not yet seen. Now faith is the substance. You were made out of substance.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Woo.
You hadn't been seen yet, but you were made out of the substance of faith of things hoped for.
Amen.
You were going to be seen.
Amen.
God had planned that when He made me by this substance, by faith, that on the 8th of March, 1950, I would appear.
Amen.
Hey, I did. No, I've got hearing like a bat. By that substance, by faith, would appear.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm revealed.
Yes.
Thank God for that.
Glory to God. See, it's by faith.
Yeah.
By faith in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, there's another date. There's another date. When I was 16 years old, there was another substance revealed in me.
Amen.
By faith.
Yeah.
Out of the substance of things not seen, just hoped for by faith, I received Christ as my Lord and Saviour. And I became born again. And I appeared again in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Into the very presence of the living God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Abraham had not received these things. Abraham had seen them by the eye of the Spirit. But he'd not seen them by the eye of the flesh. He'd not received them by the eye of, by the hand of the flesh.
No.
He'd not got great cities.
No.
He'd not got a great nation. God said, look at the stars. Look at the sand.
Yeah.
He had to believe what God was saying.
Yeah.
That was his faith test. He had to believe, he had to trust God as to what he was saying. 1985, Sheffield Arena, football ground, Sheffield United. I was there. I was a senior supervisor for the councillors. If you'd have come down, I might have met you on that football pitch. We could have met in 1985. So let's not waste any more time.
Amen.
Right? We had a destiny, we had an appointment. Do you know something? You might have not kept your appointment, but God kept it in his diary.
Amen.
Amen. And he said, there's an appointment yet. I've got to get this one to fulfill.
Amen.
Praise his name.
Yeah.
To bring him to salvation.
Yes.
Glory to God. Amazing. Same place. But in a different time. In a different spirit. God wants to knit his people together in the realm of the Spirit.
Amen.
Glory to Jesus. Let's turn to Genesis. We need to try and talk about Abraham, otherwise I'll be all over the place. Glory to Jesus. Having a ball in the realm of the Spirit of God. And if I'm not careful, when I start with this verse of Scripture, I could go anywhere. Genesis chapter 12, starting at verse 1. Have you all found it? I said, have you all found it?
Yes.
Wonderful. I'm glad you're still with me. Now the Lord said to Abram. He's a different name. But it's the same guy. This is his old nature. This is the old man before he comes to faith. Hello? Where have we been going today? We've had the old men, the old nature, coming to faith in Christ Jesus and confessing from this day forward.
Amen.
Jesus will be Lord of my life. From this day forward, He is the Lord of my life. Amen? You may make some mistakes. Abram did. But in Hebrews, when you read about him in Hebrews, God's saying, look at Abraham. What a man. Yeah, but God was looking at the new man. He wasn't looking at Abram.
No.
Okay. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country. Go forth from your country. Go forth from your relatives. Go forth from your father's house. Go forth to a land that I will show you. Four commands. Go forth. Four goals, four conditions to fulfill. And verse 2 says, and God then said to him, and I will make you a great nation.
Amen.
If he responds to God's command and God's word and acts upon it, those four go forths, those four conditions, God makes him promises. And he makes him seven promised blessings. And I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you. I will make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. And the ones who curse you, I will curse. And you and all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Seven things that God will do when obedience. When obedience and faith
Amen.
Come together.
Yeah.
So here he is, he's now 75 years old, and God speaks to him. 75, and God says, come on. Four conditions, out. Come on with me, and I'm going to do all these great things for you. He didn't fulfill all those conditions. Because you read in there, it says, and he took with him
Lot,
his nephew, and his mother and father, took all the household, and they left Ur of the Chaldees. Well, he went forth looking for a land. He went forth from his country. And he went forth looking for a land that God would show him. But he took with him his relatives and he took with him his father. A bit lukewarm, don't you think? Not quite got it yet. Not quite got the passion for this thing of faith. Still just hanging on to, well, what happens if it goes wrong? Huh? What happens if it goes wrong, you know? I've always got a way back, you know.
Plan B.
Yeah, plan B. I can find my way back, can't I? You know, hanging on to something else that allows me to get back, just in case it goes wrong.
No, he didn't
take his father. No, I know he didn't take his father. His father died before he left. But he took the rest of the household and his nephew with him. And so off he went. And he's hanging on to the past.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't hang on
Amen.
To your past.
God,
don't hang on to your past.
It's history.
It's history. It's, and God has no recollection of it.
Amen.
Don't, you know, if somebody else brings it up, just tell them, hey, don't know who you're talking about. That person dead. I buried them. Absolutely. You bury that person when you made that confession. All right, the devil will go and dig them up and say, look what I found. I got a carcass, yeah, and it stinks. You know, it's even worse now than it was before.
Yeah.
And you know what God said to the serpent? You'll eat dust, so just kick some dust at him when he's bringing it back.
Amen.
You know, it's covered in dust. It's, you know, just kick some dust at it and say, here. It's not me. That's not the me. That's not the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. That's not me.
No.
You see, you and I are now coming into that fullness of the birth. We are now becoming the evidence,
yes,
of the things of faith.
Amen.
Glory to God. I weren't going to preach this, but that's, you know, it's hallelujah. Supposed to be talking about Abraham. He's just the leading. Glory to Jesus. He didn't get it right.
Yeah.
Straight away. No. 75. He still can't get it right. Oh, glory. He didn't fully obey God.
No.
And God, you know, I was thinking, oh boy. 75 years old and this guy still can't get it right. You know, how long does he need to live before he can actually, you know, sharpen up and grab this, you know. Well, don't you take while you're 75, girl, because we'll take a stick to you and give you a good beating. We'll have to beat it into you, hallelujah, somehow. Glory to Jesus. And so here, there's this struggle going on. But don't worry, God's in control.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Turn to Genesis chapter 13. God will always put, if you don't obey, if I don't obey, God will always begin to engineer,
yeah,
a process.
Yeah.
He will ensure that your stubbornness, he will ensure that your rebellion will be dealt with.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Oh, Jonah, well, there you go, that's a stubborn one again. And even when he came up, he still was stubborn. He, you know, he didn't give up on it. Or, you know, even when he got spewed out of the whale's belly.
Yeah.
Read the end of it. Some people it takes some beating out of, I'll tell you. One of them's already left us today. Won't let it get beaten out of them. Glory to God. Well, that's fine. Verse 7 of chapter 13. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram, livestock, and herdsmen of Lot. Now that the Canaanites and the Perizzites were dwelling in the land. And Abram said to Lot, please let there be no strife between you and me, nor between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brothers. And the story goes on. So then he said to Lot, so let's split up. Aha. We're now going to fulfill one of the go-forths. We're going to get another one. We're 3/4 of the way with this one. But we're not all the way. So he says, okay. And so Lot chooses the plains of Sodom and Gomorrah. And off he goes. Now, all, I know for you and I, every time, for those that have been Christians a long time, we always think about Sodom and Gomorrah, and what do you think about?
Sin.
Sin and judgment. Yeah? Is that what you think about?
Yeah.
Thank you. Good, I'm glad you're still awake with me. So that's what we think about. We think it is where God's wrath was outpoured on that place. Let me show you something else. Turn to verse 10. I think it's verse 10. No, hang on. Just turn over 2 chapters there. Verse 10. And Lot lifted up his eyes and saw the valley of Jordan, that it was a well watered everywhere. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Like the garden of the Lord,
yeah,
like the land, sorry, like the garden
of Eden. Like the garden of the Lord. And I thought to myself, yeah, like the garden of Eden is what Sodom and Gomorrah looked like.
Wow.
Nobody's ever told you that. And you've read that and we've ignored it. That's why he picked it. It looked and resembled the Garden of Eden. It resembled paradise.
Yeah.
You see, within and each, every one of us, there is a desire for the garden.
Yeah.
For the paradise of God. For the beginning of creation. There's that desire within us.
Yeah.
And Lot saw it.
Yeah.
And thought, that's it. That's it. That's mine. I want the paradise. I want the Garden of Eden. You see, it wasn't corrupt at that time. It became corrupt. And the story goes on. You can find it in your Bible. How and why, to some degree, it became corrupt. But it wasn't corrupt at that point in time. It was a beautiful place. It was equivalent to the Garden of Eden. How did he know it looked like the Garden of Eden? Oh, hallelujah. I'll tell you. If you want to know. If you don't want to know, I'll not tell you. You don't want to know. See, the Bible tells us that God's not a man that he should lie in Numbers 23 and 19. And so God is revealing his truth through his word to us. I'm going to leave you with that one for a moment. Let's just move on. Okay, so here we have now that... So, he's gone from his country. Now he's left his relatives. He's left his father's house. And God says, I want to show you the land. Ah. What happens? There comes a time of famine. And guess what happens? Oh no, we're not good at that one. No, we better just hang on. I better hang on first. We'll get to that in a minute. No, I will share with you about. I better do it, hadn't I? I better share with you. Okay. How did Lot and Abraham, I suppose the question is, know that Sodom and Gomorrah and the Valley of Jordan resembled something very much of the Garden of Eden and God's paradise? Yeah? Let me give you an idea. From the time of Adam to the time of Abraham was some 1900 years. Okay? It's a long time to us. So that does seem a long time for the description of paradise to be passed down all those 1900 years, doesn't it? Seems a long time. But through how many people did that story pass is far more important. Now, to you and I, if we said a story for 1900 years, it might have to pass at least through two or three fathers, grandfathers and great-grandfathers during a 100-year period. We might say that. So that's quite a few people, isn't it, along the way? Quite a few people. Thank you, about 60 people. But let me show you something. In the Bible, these people lived a long time. Adam lived for some 960-odd years. Methuselah, well, he was the oldest man in the Bible. So, okay, let me give you something. Let me show you something. Adam knew Shem, who was the son of Noah. This is before the flood. Okay? Adam knew Shem, the son of Noah, before the flood. So,
They were related. I think there was about... No, I'm not going to that. Just take it that they were related. Okay? And Adam was still alive while Seth was alive. While he was a young man. So he would have heard the story from the first man who was in the paradise garden of what God made. He would have it first hand of exactly what he had lost for his generations. Let me tell you this, when he'd had such a great time and such a precious place to live, he'd lost it. I tell you, that would live in your memory for a long, 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 long time. That would live with you forever. I lost that. One stupid mistake and I lost that. It was such a precious place. Massive jewels and emeralds, and you could sit on them. The presence of God came in the garden. It was magnificent. Such a peace and a blessed place. And he would go on and tell the story of how God brought the animals to him and how he named every one of them. And so Shem, the son of Noah, knew Adam. Of course, we know then the flood came. Shem, the son of Noah. And Abraham. Shem knew Noah. Shush, girl. No, quiet. Quiet. You better listen and write, okay?
Oh dear.
Abraham knew Shem, who's the son of Noah. Okay? And... hush. And then the flood came. And how many were saved?
Eight.
Three sons of Noah. Shem being one of them. Okay? Praise God. We got that right between us. And then as we move down through the generations, we find that Noah also knew Methuselah. Methuselah was the great-grandfather and his son was Enoch. And we also find that because of this, they would have known Adam and Eve. This is amazing. They would have known Adam and Eve. Enoch was Methuselah's grandfather. He was the son of Enoch, who would know Seth, the son of Adam and Eve. You see, it's that you've got Shem and you've got Seth, so you don't get it wrong, right? So Noah would have known Methuselah, the great grandfather. He was the son of Enoch, who would know Seth, the son of Adam and Eve. Now, if you looked at it in relative times to family, Seth was about six times removed, a removed grandfather of that period of time of about 1900 years. But in reality, we have four links to Adam and Abraham. Just four links that would tell the story. We have Adam, we have Seth, we have Shem, and we have Abraham. That's all we need. Four links to tell the story of the Garden of Eden. So there's only four times does that same story need to be told. It's not, although it's come down 1900 years, there's only four people have been involved in telling the story. They were alive and they met. These people met each other down the pathway of time. I found that amazing. That there we find that the promises of God were being foretold, and the fact that they could tell the generations what Eden was like. What paradise was like. And so, Lot, being the nephew of Abraham, had heard the same stories
And when he looked at Sodom and Gomorrah, he said, that's just like paradise. I remember my grandfather telling me the story. Yeah, there'd been a flood. Mankind had been wiped out. But the remnant was still there. The remnant of God was still there. And so the promises of God, and God was reminding them and saying that, you know, it's still there. And they saw Sodom and Gomorrah, and Sodom and Gomorrah looked a wonderful place. But Abraham, he went into the desert places. And God was with him all along the way. Never left him, never forsook him. Chapter 15 of Genesis and verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not fear, Abram. I am a shield to you. Your reward shall be very great.
Amen.
He's still encouraging him. You see, he's come to that place now where he's left everything. He's fulfilled those four conditions now. And God's reminding him that his reward will be very great. Praise his wonderful name. And Abraham says to God, Lord God, what will thou give me since I am childless? And the heirs of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. He knows his state. He's coming up to 90 years old. No family. No son. No promise. No heir to his throne. What's he going to do? Well, as you read through Genesis in 15 and 16, you find there that he and his wife, Sarah, decide to cook up a scheme. Remember that song? Many of you will remember it, by Frank Sinatra. I did it my way. Well, I think actually Abraham sang it first. Because he did. He and Sarai, as she was called then, did it their way. And said, well, tell you what, Abram, you go sleep with Hagar. She's my servant. And she can have my child. And will fulfill the promises of God. No, we will fulfill the promises of God. You and I do not. He fulfills them in you. Stop trying to be and just let it happen in you. Not trying to be something. You should be. You are the something. Stop trying to be it. You are the something that God has created you. You're not trying to. You are. It's happening in you. Hallelujah. Just let it be in your spirit. Let it happen in your heart. And so they tried to work it out themselves in chapter 16. He's 86. And suddenly, he has a son. Ishmael. And we know what that has given to us. Ishmael is the father of the Arab nations. There's never been any love lost between them. The Bible says there'll never be any peace between them. They'll always be at fractions at war. There's no peace within their own families. They're always at war with one another. It will be, yeah, that's right. And that is the promise that is going on today. That, as the angel said, the angel of the Lord said to, I will, in chapter 16 and verse 10, moreover, the angel of the Lord said to, I will greatly multiply your descendants so that there shall be too many to count. And the angel of the Lord said to her further, behold, you are with child, you shall bear a son, call his name Ishmael. And because the Lord has given heed to your affliction, he will be a wild donkey of a man. Think about it. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand will be against him, and he will live to the east of all his brothers. Hey,
Where is he? He's in the east. It's a prophecy. It's a prophecy right at the beginning, you know, 1900 years into after creation. This is going on. And so this son is born. Then we move on to Genesis 17. He's still not come to faith, this man. He's still trusting in chariots and in horses. He went down to Egypt at one stage in a time of famine. He didn't trust God's promise that God said, just go and I'll look after you and care for you. When a famine came, he turned to Egypt. He turned to the world system. He stopped trusting God. And when he got into Egypt, he said to his wife, "Ooh, tell them you're my sister. Because she was beautiful, even at 80 years old. Tell them you're my sister. Because if they think you're my wife, they'll probably kill me." Yeah. Now hang on, God made a promise. Yeah. And told him to go. Now if he knew that that was going to happen, he should have known that he was in the wrong place. Yeah. Because God is a God of peace, not a God of fear. So he's now fearful for his life. He's in the wrong place. If you get fearful for your life, you're in the wrong place.
Yeah. Yeah.
My God is a God of peace.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So he's in the wrong place. He should have hightailed it out of there and said, "I'm off to the land of famine because God will provide. Because God has a promise on my life and God has to fulfill that promise. I don't. Because I can't." So that's when it makes the impossible to be impossible. Hallelujah. Got them in again. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Didn't plan that one. Glory to Jesus. You see, although it seems impossible to me, but when we bring God in, it is Him possible. Hallelujah. Every time, you see. But we have to let Him in. We have to give God permission. We have to grant God, come in. You see, He's a gentleman. He will not force His way in. The Holy Spirit does not force Himself upon you. But He waits for the invitation. God waits for the invitation. Hallelujah. You know, when Adam was in the garden, he invited God into the garden with him. The garden was Adam's responsibility. He was the king of the garden. He was king of paradise. God said, "You be in charge of it."
Yeah.
And he invited God into his presence.
Yeah.
He made some mistakes along the way. And so we find here that... So he said to Sarah, he said, tell him you're my sister. You're going to kill me. And so what happens? Pharaoh says, "Wow, this 80-year-old gal, she don't look too bad. You know? She's a bit of a cracker, you know. She's fairer than any of these ones I've already got in my concubine, you know. Come on, bring her on, you know." So he takes her into his concubine, you see, and he thinks, "Whoa, I've got a prize here. Just, you know, give him a load of sheep, goat, give him some gold, you know, just... I'm just, you know, give him what he wants. You know, I've got a bargain here, man. I've got a bargain." You know, Pharaoh knew what he was looking for. He'd got all the pretty women. But he said, "I found one at 80 and she's better than all of them. Well, bring her in." The glory of God was on her, you see. The presence of God was around her. And he thought he was seeing a glorious woman. And he was seeing a glorious woman, you see. And he brought her in. Well, you read the story and you find that not too long and suddenly plague hits Pharaoh's household. You know, it's like, oh, they're all falling sick and it's, oh, you know, boils. And, you know, it's just like, what has gone wrong, you know? Truth comes out. Abraham lied. Told a half lie. She was his half-sister. She weren't his sister, but she was his half-sister. So, you know. So, just remember, when you tell a half-lie, there ain't such a thing. It's a lie. Okay? All one colour.
Yeah.
Speak the truth. You know, speak the truth. Do it in love. Not loving to do it, but do it in love. And watch God work. So here we find out. So, you know, when Pharaoh and his household find out, it's like, right, why have you done this to us, you know? And of course he explains he was afraid he'd be killed. So he said, okay, I'm going to let you go. Get rid of you. Send you out. Take all that I gave you. Get on your way. I don't want anything of you. And he said, nobody touch him. Let him go. So off he went. Now he's beginning to start to trust God more. Chapter 17. Better move on quickly. Verse 1. Now Abraham was 99 years old. He's now 99 years old. The Lord appears to Abram and said to him, I am. Oh, I am has turned up. The I am has appeared before him. God Almighty. And this is what he tells him. Walk before me and be blameless. Walk before me and be blameless. And if you do this, I will establish my covenant between you and me, he said. I will multiply you exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you. And I shall establish my covenant between you and me and your descendants after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of talk about that, and the Jews would say that, said in the time of Jesus, you know, we are of our father Abraham. Said you're not. They might have been physically, but spiritually they were not of the same nature. They were not of the same spirit. He was the father of faith. And they were faithless. They were faithless, they were stiff-necked, and they were rebellious. We are the spiritual children of Abraham. Because by faith, we walk this pathway. By faith, we are saved. By faith, we are forgiven. By faith, we receive eternal life. By faith, we know we have a sure and certain hope in Christ Jesus. It's all by faith. By faith we are healed. Yes. By faith we are set free. By faith we can enter into the presence of a living God. Amen. By faith we know that He has established us as kings and priests in His presence. Yes. It's all by faith. Hallelujah. And so we realize that this is what God is doing for us. You see, God, it's not about a physical relationship that God is now talking about in Christ Jesus, but it is spiritual. It's far deeper. It's far more powerful. Yeah. It's everlasting. Yes. Yeah. Wow. The Bible says that, Lord, we can just simply fold up the earth and everything and the universe and everything and just toss it to one side and you can start all over again. It all belongs to Him. It is His right to do whatever He wants to do. It's finite.
Yes.
But the realm of the Spirit is infinite. There's a difference. There's a finishing point on the earth. But in God, in the Spirit, it goes on and on and on and on and on. There's no end. He said, I'm the Alpha. I'm the beginning. I'm the end. Where does it finish? He's not going to tell you. There's no end in God. And so the promises are to Abraham. And so he carries on in this. And then we find that in verse 5 it says, No longer shall your name be called Abraham, but your name shall be Abraham. Whoa. I find this exciting. I really do. Because you see, the old saints, of the Old Testament, when they really spoke about God, as we said, I think a few weeks ago, we were teaching that God put His breath into Adam. He made him physically. But until He breathed into him, how do you breathe into somebody? You know, when you give mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, yeah? Giving life. And God put His life in Adam. And when God changed Abraham's name and put, instead of Abram, He said, "You're called Abraham." Abraham. Abraham. And the life of God, the faith of God, was being breathed into him and birthed in his very being. Oh, now he's become the father of faith.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. That gives me goosebumps when I start thinking about that. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Get so excited. He also tells him in verse 19, and God said no, but no, not 19, sorry, before then. Verse 15, and God said to Abraham, Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah. 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 She's the mother of spiritual beings.
Amen.
Not the mother of Israel. It's not the mother of Jews. She's the mother of the spiritual children.
Amen.
Glory to God. When God says your descendant shall be like the stars in the Milky Way, you and I can't see, but we can go on a sand and seashore and we can look at that and go, my, how's he going to do that? The Jews are not like the sands on the seashore. Never ever will be. But the spiritual children of our God,
amen,
are like the sand on the seashore. Hallelujah. Because it's the breath of God that is breathing life. Today, we've even seen this day, people saying, I want the breath of God in me. I want the life of God in my spirit. You see, you were already alive in the flesh. We know that because you've all done something wrong. We've had wrong thoughts. We've done wrong deeds. And we also, we're alive in the flesh. We know that fully. But to be alive in the spirit is a different matter altogether. To be alive in the spirit, feel the power of God surging through you. And the presence of God with His arms around you. Knowing His forgiveness and His care for us. Hallelujah. So God gives both of them a new name. New name stands for a new beginning.
Amen.
New beginning. Today, those that have, you know, many of you, it's a rededication, and I don't mean just a rededication, it's a rededication.
Amen.
It's a nailing your colours to the mast and saying, this is it, this is where I stand, and I'm not leaving this place.
Amen.
I'm not going back from this point, I'm only going forward.
Amen.
This is a marker in the sand that says, this is where I started, and I'm going on from here.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's that marker in the sand. Becoming a person of faith. Beginning to trust God. And so here we find Abraham and Sarah now trusting God. And he tells him that Abraham now was in verse 24 of chapter 17, and Abraham was now 99 years old. He was circumcised, flesh of his foreskin. And then he goes on through into chapter 18, and Sarah brings him forth a son. He's 99, 100 years old, and she's 90. She gives birth. She gives birth to the spiritual son.
Yeah.
To the spiritual son.
Yeah.
See, this was a miracle.
Yeah.
This is spiritual, you see. God does a work in him right there and then. But it took him till he was getting on a few years. He'd walked the walk of attempted obedience for 25 years.
Yeah.
Trying to follow God. Messing up along the way. And then suddenly, on year 24, he suddenly became the man of God of faith. And God changed his name.
Amen.
To seal it. To seal it that the breath of God was in him. And his wife also. And the moment that things, they were sealed in the spirit, then a son was born.
Yeah.
Of the spirit.
Wow.
Hallelujah.
Wow.
Son was born of the spirit. Now that line would bring in my Savior.
Amen.
My Lord.
Amen.
My Redeemer.
Amen.
My King.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Your King. Your Lord. Your Savior. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
He was brought in by the Spirit. You see, when Mary conceived, how did she conceive? By the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
You,
the breath of God.
Amen.
By the Holy Spirit. She says, I know no man. No. But she knew the Spirit of God the Creator.
Amen.
Hallelujah. People of God, when you make the mistakes, when you fall over, like Abram did, remember, God was still with him. God had made promises. And the promises of God was to turn him into that spiritual man. To turn his wife, Sarai, into that spiritual woman.
Yeah.
And the only way that you can become spiritual is when you have the breath.
Amen.
Of God within you.
Yeah.
The breath of God within you. The Word of God within you. So important. You cannot live without the Spirit.
Amen.
You're dead in trespasses and sins. You need to live.
Amen.
In the realm of the Spirit. Seek it in the Word. Seek the Word of God. Seek God to fill you with His Spirit. You know, you've made that step this day. You've made that declaration. And it might be for a second or third time. That's great. I don't have a problem with that at all. We need to remember that when we've made that, we begin to see things changing in our lives and we begin to move in a new dimension, the dimension of the Spirit.
Amen.
Yeah? And so as we listen in with our spiritual ears, we listen with our spiritual ears, not our earthly ears, because they all they hear is doom and gloom. But our spiritual ears hear that God has a plan and a purpose for your life, for you to fulfill. As with Abraham and with Sarah, God had a promise for their lives, for them to fulfill. So praise God. Hallelujah. He's a man of faith. Took him a while to get there. Took him a long time. You know, he lived longer than you and I probably will do. You know, he took him a while to get there. But God does not give up on us. And we should not give up on God. Yeah, that's the connection. Let God have his way. And let me tell you this. Jesus said, if you ask my Father for bread, he'll not give you a stone. In other words, don't be afraid of my Father. Don't be afraid of my Father God. Because he loves you. He loves you. He hates sin. But guess what? He loves you. Because in Psalm 139, he says, he knew you. He saw your substance before you were actually anything. He saw your substance before the world was created. You were just a substance. And look what a substance you've turned out to be. Glory to God. Wow. You're a substance where God wants to flow through you and to do signs, wonders and miracles. Amen. Hallelujah. He wants you to declare that Jesus is Lord. He's the Savior of the world.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Shout it out. Let people, don't be afraid to let people know.
Amen.
I tell you what, you'll see more miracles start to happen. Declare it. Declare it. Declare it. We heard last Wednesday, Ivy been declaring who Jesus was and been praying for somebody, she said. And the hospital had said, this person, this lady is going to die. So Ivy said, well, we're praying. She got a phone call a day or so later. This lady's home. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This lady's home. Hallelujah. Come on. Yeah. The doctors are like, we don't know how. We can't understand. That's right. You can't understand. You're only practicing medicine. God is the perfecter of all medicine. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus.
Glory to Jesus.
Come on. He's the one who perfects us. He's the one who made us. He knows how you... where your ticker ticks and what punches your lights and what have you. He knows what you're all about. The doctor, you know, the guessing. I went to the doctor this week and she was guessing. My blood pressure's high. Rubbish. No way. Wants to stick me on a pill or two. No way, Jose. You're only practicing love. You ain't giving me some poison.
No.
Got to take the word and have health and strength and life. Well, your history says, let me tell you this, you haven't heard the other side of my history.
No.
Jesus the same yesterday, today and forever.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. He changeth not. Jesus is the healer. He's the one who sets captives free. He's the deliverer. He's my healer. He's the one who's going to change my bodily functions. Amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. Grace says you'll have to slow down. Why? That's what the doctors say. Glory to God, I'm pushing on. Because you see, if this can be done for Abraham at 99, I'm not 99. I'll just make that clear. Huh? Do you want to catch that plane? Or do you want to go before it? You see, no. God is well able. You know, you all know what 3 years ago I was laid on my back and said, you need an operation. You must have this operation. I had two appointments in Doncaster. They kept ringing me. Are you coming for this operation? No, I'm not. Well, we'll keep it open. No, it don't matter. I'm not coming. And then I get another letter saying, we've got you an appointment date for your operation. I'd ring up. I'm not coming. But we've got you a date. I'm not coming, will you not? Went to see another doctor and he in the end agreed with me. Well, let's give it 3 months. I thought, yes, 3 months that God can work. 3 months later, I'm on my feet. I'm off all drugs.
ones in Doncaster said to me, when we operate on you, you'll never ride a motorcycle again. Oh, dear God. What a curse to put over anybody. What a curse. So I went for the spiritual one. I said, Dr. Jesus, I need you to heal me. It didn't happen immediately. I know we've seen people healed rapidly and immediately, but it was a progression. And I'm still stood up today, praising God, and still riding a motorcycle, and they said, you'd never ride again. Well, guess what? Hi-ho, silver, here we go. Glory to God, you know. Dancing around, rejoicing and praising God. Hallelujah. Because it is Jesus, the healer. And so what he's already touched once, he can touch again. And if there's anything else, he can touch and minister life and health in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. So what the doctor said to me, you know, your cholesterol might be, you know, you just might be coming to that area. So I had a bacon sandwich on Saturday. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Just to, amen. Hallelujah. God says he will bless that, you know, and that which was cursed is now blessed. Hallelujah. So praise the Lord. Amen. Trust. Faith in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Graham said that the Lord showed him on Thursday that God had said I had to lay hands on everybody and anoint them with oil. Hallelujah. And so we're going to do is what the Lord has told him that we were going to do. And we're going to anoint you with oil and lay hands on you in the name of Jesus. And you are going to be touched by God. You are going to receive something in the realm of the Spirit through your confession, through the dynamics of the Spirit. And it's by faith you'll receive this. By faith you will receive this. Not by me. Not by grace, not by Graham, not by Ken, but by faith you shall receive this. In the mighty name of Jesus. Not by Dharma even, but by faith you shall receive. Are you first out, Dharma? Yes. Praise God. Come on then. Let's go for it. Hallelujah. Praise his wonderful name. Praise his wonderful name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's everybody stand and we'll pray. And if you want to be anointed, well, by faith, we're going to anoint you in Jesus' name. Father, we just come before you right now, again, into your presence. Not that we've been out of your presence, Lord. Not that you've left us, Father. You said you'd never leave us, you'd never forsake us. And so, Father, we pray as we anoint, in the precious name of our Lord Jesus, as we anoint with oil your people. Father, I pray that that anointing will come down upon them. And we'll touch them and strengthen them and draw them into unity with you, closer to you, closer to each other. And that, Father, your Spirit would quicken them in a new way. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.